prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution. Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Yep, our website address is revo.church, R-E-V-O.church. And the radio show is truthrevolution.tv.
That's right. You want to get on over there? We've got a ton of stuff for you.
Oh, man.
Which doesn't just include this show.
Yeah.
It includes past shows.
We have literally hundreds of pieces of information on there.
How soon do you think we'll hit the 1,000 mark? Do you think there were 1,000 yet?
Well, if you count shows and truth shots, I mean, we're in the 300s and truth shots.
Mm-hmm.
We're in like the 200 shows close to it.
So it's safe to say we've got over 500 pieces of stuff over there.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So anyway, today we're going to continue talking about an article, because this is where faith and reason meet,
mm-hmm.
that someone wrote, How I Figured Out Christianity Is Not Real.
Like clapping for that, or are we?
Well, we can clap for anybody. We're going to clap for that. We're also going to answer it.
Yeah, right on, to blow somebody's mind.
So we're going to talk about whether we agree or not. Last week, we only got through pages 2 and 3.
I got no explanation for that.
And
other
like
than the fact
pages.
That we're still doing a 30-minute show, Jeff.
Yeah.
We need 60.
We're also going to answer a Bible contradiction and just talk about general faith and science and logic stuff in general. Mm-hmm. So let's look at this. Let's start where we left off last week.
All right.
This guy, this author, says this is why he left Christianity.
Right. He continues to say, going on.
That's what he said?
Yeah. Well, that's how he put it. but he is talking about the Ten Commandments here. He said that the Bible is a product of its times, as also revealed in the Ten Commandments. Nowhere in these commandments is there a condemnation of slavery, genocide, child molestation, or cruel treatment of homosexuals or non-human animals. But it does suggest that a wife is the property of the husband, commandment number 10. It is apparent that the morality of modern civilization has surpassed that of the Bible.
Wow.
But if God was the author of these commandments, it begs the question, are we today more moral than God? It takes little effort by anyone to construct a more enlightened set of instructions than what is contained in the Ten Commandments.
Are we more moral than God?
You can't handle the truth.
That's kind of a dangerous ground to be standing on, talking about our morality surpassing that of God.
Well, let's just answer the questions.
Okay.
All right. He says, nowhere in the commandments is a condemnation of slavery or genocide. Or things like that. What was the entire point of the law?
Well, you know, in Matthew, I read somewhere.
The book of Matthew,
yeah. They asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And he did claim two, but he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second is like it,
mm-hmm.
to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes.
And the entire law and the prophets, he said, hang on those two commandments.
Exactly. All of the law and all of the prophets hang on love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength,
mm-hmm.
and love your neighbor as yourself. So the whole point, the entire point of the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. was to teach people to love God and to love each other. So when it says, okay, well, they didn't outlaw slavery in the Ten Commandments. Well, first of all, there's only 10 things there.
Right.
It's not like you can list everything in the world.
Right. It would be a book bigger than we could actually carry.
Second, they were supposed to take these principles of the Ten Commandments and realize what God was calling them to in general. And in general, God was calling them to love their neighbors, was to love God. And so you really can't love your neighbor if he's your slave.
Right.
You can't love your neighbor if you're trying to commit genocide.
Well, I mean,
you can't love your neighbor.
You could love genocide against your neighbor, I guess.
You could love genocide, right?
Right.
You can't love your neighbor if you're treating a homosexual inappropriately. If, mm-hmm. if you're beating them or using slurs against them,
right.
That's not loving your neighbor.
Yeah, the whole point is that, like you said, it's broken down into 10 commandments. Jesus said the entire law and the prophets hung on those two.
Yes.
So if we're loving our neighbor, we're going to treat them with respect. We're not going to kill them. We're not going to actually try to possess what they have.
Right.
We're not going to try and commit adultery. We're not going to steal from them. We're not going to, you know, do all those different things that we shouldn't be doing. We're supposed to love one another.
Yeah. Now, let me address what he said about, okay, the wife is the property of the husband, mm-hmm. according to the Ten Commandments. That's just, honestly, that's just a blatant misreading of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Commandment number 10, I think that's, don't covet your neighbor's wife. That's not saying you, that's not saying the wife is a property of the husband. That's saying, y'all don't cheat with a married woman.
Right.
Don't even want to cheat with a married woman.
Right. So is his point here saying that since we can't have our neighbor's wife, that she belongs to him?
I think that's what he's trying to get at, but that's just not.
That's kind of crazy.
That's illogical. Right. That doesn't follow.
Right.
I mean, my wife has me in the same way. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, definitely.
You know, it's
the Bible
property.
The Bible tells man and wife, husband and wife, to submit one to another.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there is no ownership there other than the fact that that you kind of have each other and you're supposed to hold yourselves to a certain standard.
All right, let's go to the next paragraph.
All right. I understood that the Bible viewed homosexuality as a sin, but concluded with a real God that would have understood.
So he concluded.
Yeah, but he concluded that a real God would have understood the causes of homosexuality and would not have condemned what came natural to these people.
Hmm.
He would have known that it wasn't a choice, but rather an integral part of their essence. Such a God would not have condemned these people or their activity. The Bible's condemnation of homosexuality reveals its man-made origins.
Okay, there's a couple of things here to take issue with. The Bible does talk about homosexuality as a sin,
mm-hmm.
But this guy says that a real God would have understood the causes of homosexuality. There's no reason to say that God didn't understand the cause of homosexuality. I mean, we're not debating what the Bible says about that right now, but whether or not homosexuality is something that happens, he says it comes natural to these people. I agree. It does come natural to people, mm-hmm. In a sense. And, you know, whether you're born that way or not, that's irrelevant. I was born as a man with proclivity to go after lots of women.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't necessarily make it right.
Right.
His point is that God doesn't understand the cause, but that's not true. I mean, God definitely would understand the cause, and that's irrelevant. Just because something's natural doesn't mean it's okay.
Right.
Anyway. All right.
The story of the Jewish exile to Egypt has been disproved based on the absolute lack of evidence, either in Egyptian history records or corroborating physical evidence.
Mm. I need my buzz sound.
Do tell.
Just because something lacks evidence in history does not mean it's not true.
Right. Right. It's a thing like what we talked about with Napoleon's sword, right?
Kind of.
Just the fact that it wasn't found in France
doesn't mean
he wasn't in France.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we have not found the bones of the third emperor of China.
Right.
So maybe there wasn't a third emperor of China.
Right.
Well, no, that doesn't make any sense. Just because you can't find something archaeologically doesn't mean it didn't occur.
Right.
But in fact, he says that the lack of evidence of Egyptian historical records shows that it didn't happen. That's not true. The Egyptians actually are known to have only recorded their positive history.
Right.
And so losing hundreds of thousands of slaves would not be something they'd be like, hey, let's write this one down and make sure everybody remembers it.
Right.
No, we know that they only recorded their positive history.
Right.
So, all right, let's go to the next.
All right. So the next rationalization for me was to completely jettison the Old Testament and consider it apocryphal. Just a series of legends that might in some cases have been remotely tethered to real events, and that Jesus came to earth to correct the errors of Judaism as well as other religions.
That's kind of interesting.
There were problems with that concept as well, because Jesus appeared to be supportive of Old Testament history and law.
Hey, you know what? He got that right.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who don't understand. They always say, well, Jesus never talked about this. Well, yeah, you know what? Jesus actually agreed and made it clear that he agreed with the Old Testament.
Right. He says there seems to be no way to separate Christianity from its Jewish roots without destroying its authenticity.
Dude, this props to him right there. That is just, he obviously understands.
Yeah. Right.
He just rocked my world.
Well, the thing is that I don't want to really make fun of this guy, because, I mean, he says, at this point, my faith was hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
You know?
He's obviously intelligent. Yeah. He writes really well. He's got good ideas. He obviously, he's missing some things mm-hmm. that we're pointing out, but
All right. And he says, I looked at how this universe was constructed and how things worked in my experience of life. Well, the universe did not seem to be anything a god would design. There being too much chaos and asymmetry with asteroids pounding planets, galaxies colliding, and so forth. The universe is too large for it to have been created for just human earthlings, and it also seems to be farcical that a god that made all of this is a male and looks like a human.
He isn't male, and he doesn't look like a human.
I believe that, you know, the whole, just because the Bible says that God made man in his own image doesn't mean that God looks like us.
Oh, that you think that's what he's referring to?
I didn't even catch that. Okay, here's the thing. People get this wrong all the time, and it really upsets me because people are all the time trying to put human properties on God.
Yeah.
We are not, we are created in God's image. Yeah. God was not created in our image.
Yes.
So therefore, just because we look human, have four appendage or four limbs and stuff like that, doesn't mean that God necessarily looks like we look.
That is correct.
We have been given the God spark to create, to be able to basically master our surroundings and stuff like that. And we create art, we create poetry and stuff like that. And I believe that God is of the very essence of creation.
Very good. So, So that's what it means to be made in the image of God. So his point there that God made us to look like him is irrelevant.
Right.
Now, this idea that the universe is too large for it to be created just for human earthlings, there's a few things wrong with this statement. Mm-hmm. First of all, maybe there are aliens out there.
Right.
The Bible doesn't disagree with that.
Right.
We've talked about this before.
We're not going to dispute that at all, right?
Right. There may be alien life. But second of all, the universe's size actually makes our life more possible. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to go back. If you're listening, go to our website, truthevolution.tv, and type in Hugh Ross. You're going to find shows that we have done where we've talked about the astronomical size of the universe and the evidence that the size even helps with our life.
Right.
And third, God didn't create the universe just for humans. God created the universe to show his properties.
Amen.
God is gigantic, and so he creates a gigantic universe.
Right.
It's funny because people used to say, well, the universe isn't that big, before we knew how big it was. And you know, if there really was a God, he would have created something big.
Right.
And now people know it's big, so they're like, well, it's just too big. There must not be a God.
Well, one thing that I want to point out is the fact that he says, he talks about the chaos in the universe. And I do say, I won't disagree with the fact they've got, we've got things colliding out there.
Yeah.
But in the overall scope of things, the Mayans set their calendar by looking at the stars.
Yes.
Okay. And that calendar is still running today, even though they say in 2012.
Well, it hit the end of it, Dave.
Well, okay, but it was a circular calendar, and I get into arguments with people about this all the time. It just rolls over and starts a new set. Okay. But it's still correct, and it was set by the stars. And our universe is, for all intents and purposes, a machine created, obviously, by something that had a creative mind.
Yes. Actually, I think it was Einstein, someone like that, said the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible.
Right.
Like, it was something like that. The fact that the universe is ordered and we can count on it, and it does have order and regularity. Right. Proves that it was designed with a mind. I mean, this is the teleological argument that we talk about.
Right, and quite honestly, if this universe was as chaotic as some people would have you believe, our planet wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Okay, you know what we're going to do?
Take a break?
We're going to work through these things faster.
Okay.
So if you feel like we've been going too slow, I kind of feel like the same thing. Let's go through these things faster during the next segment, and we're also going to do a Bible contradiction.
All right.
Get out to truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church every Sunday morning at 9 and 11. Our church meets, we do some singing, we do a sermon, we do some videos, good stuff. We're also on Facebook, use facebook.com/revolutionchurch, revo.church, but really just go to truthrevolution.tv, listen to past stuff. There are hundreds of things there to listen to. Subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends. If you want to donate, you can do that. You make the show happen. The people who donate to make the show happen, you guys make this go on the air. So consider donating, send in some questions or some challenges. We would love to be challenged by your thoughts and your ideas. We want to hear from you. TruthEvolution.tv. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than on the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. online at revo.church.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
online at revo.church.
That's revo.church.
Revolution!
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
It's been said that life probably occurs on billions of planets.
Honestly, I hope that's true. I'd love to visit another world.
But we have to be realistic about the probability of life occurring.
And for life to occur on Earth, or any planet, a staggering number of factors has to come into play.
For instance?
A planet with complex life has to be a terrestrial planet, where plate tectonic recycling occurs.
You mean all the continents' changes and the land being recycled like in volcanoes, actually helps life exist?
Absolutely. In addition, we have to have just the right mix in our atmosphere for us to breathe and live.
Right. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune.
None of them have the atmospheres that we can use. Only Earth does. And there are a ton of other factors, such as a particular moon, the existence of certain chemicals.
Suffice it to say, life just doesn't occur by accident.
For more information, check out the book, The Privileged Planet.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Truth Revolution.
And we are talking about an article that was written about why this person says how he figured out Christianity was not real.
Woo.
And since we're going to go ahead and go through these faster, let's just jump right in.
Okay, right. By Michael Runyon.
He says, I considered a thought experiment that I have been raised without any religion's instruction or even hearing about religion as I grew up. Would I have concluded from what I experienced that there was a supernatural forces at play? Did it seem like a world populated with gods, angels, devils, and demons? The answer was no. The very concept
Well, actually, you know, he'd be wrong there.
Yeah.
Because humans for hundred thousand years have come to the conclusion, no matter what island they grew up on, no matter what forest they grew up in, no matter what continent they grew up in, city or not,
right,
the vast majority of humans for all of human history have believed that there was a God that existed. So the idea that growing up without a quote unquote religion,
mm-hmm,
he would grow up not even thinking about a God or a devil or anything, right, is just not true, because they all do.
Right. He says the very concept of the devil and hell seems to be a human invention, perhaps to scare and control people, but very unlikely to exist in reality.
And what does he base that on? Okay. Very unlikely to exist in reality based on what? I mean, if there is a God and he has revealed himself to us by giving us scriptures, mm-hmm, and those scriptures say that this is what happened, there is a God, there is a devil, there are these things, then that absolutely makes sense.
Right.
The only opposite of that would be, okay, they don't exist, but what would he base that belief on?
Right.
I mean, you can't prove a negative. Just to say, well, it's very unlikely that this thing where we isn't going to exist, even though there's evidence that says it does.
Right. Well, to be very honest with you, the concept of actually having an eternity is kind of scary, because when you don't have religion, it's an unknown.
Yeah.
You know, and so we fear the unknown. So
let's go to page 6.
Okay.
He says, I also evaluated the effectiveness of prayer and concluded that the prayers I had said in my life had not shown any sign of being answered beyond pure coincidence. Mm. So this is important. We actually did a prayer series at our church, mm-hmm. where I talked about answered prayer. And we said, if your prayers aren't being answered, you should wonder why.
Right.
You should wonder why.
Right. We need to be in communion with God in order for our prayers to be answered.
Because
if we're not, why would God just go around willy-nilly answering prayers to people who just don't do what's right?
Yeah. And the series is called Powerful Prayer. Sam, those are on YouTube, right? You can go to YouTube, Revolution Church, Powerful Prayer, and you can watch this series we did, where we actually go through 3 different weeks, all kinds of different questions and things that you need to ask yourself what's going on if your prayers aren't being answered.
Right.
He says, I wonder why God refused to heal amputees and quadriplegics. First of all, how does he know that doesn't happen?
Right.
I also wonder why Christians and atheists respond the same way when they get sick or wreck their car. That is, it seemed that being a Christian offered no tangible real world advantage. What's he mean? Like go to the doctor?
Beyond me.
Yeah. I mean, I go to the doctor just like an atheist goes to a doctor.
Right.
God didn't. We had a guy on, Dr. Clay Jones, a couple weeks ago, and he was on months ago.
Right.
And we actually, I think it was him, we actually talked about this. Okay. If let's just say that God did crazy miracles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We actually wouldn't live in real world. We live in cartoon world, right?
Right.
Where I could shoot you with a gun and go, okay, God, please heal Dave. And then Dave would be
right.
healed.
Right.
Okay, I could drive my car as fast as I want, 90 miles an hour down the street, run over a kid and go, oops, sorry, God, please make the kid better. And the kid would get better.
Right.
But we don't live in cartoon world. We live in real world.
Right. It becomes a silly series of inconsequential moves.
Yes.
And, you know, we never learn anything.
Right. It makes life meaningless and pointless if God just fixes everything we do automatically.
Right.
And we don't, our actions don't have real life meaning.
Yeah. And quite honestly, if you want to be an amoeba brain, I mean, that's the way life would be then, right?
If you what?
Wanted to be an amoeba brain where you didn't have to think about anything.
Amoeba brain.
I didn't have to worry about choices, right?
I thought you said enemy brain. I was like, what's an enemy brain?
I don't know.
I have one of those. Let's fight. All right.
All right. Well, and he says that he was bothered by the fact that Christians did not pray for anything that would clearly require supernatural force, such as praying for a dead person to be raised back to life.
Wait.
Hmm?
Wait.
I'm waiting.
There was one pretty amazing person who was raised back to life that there's evidence for.
Yes.
His name was?
Jesus.
Very good, Dave. It's almost like you know this stuff.
Yeah, almost.
Right? I mean, come on. Okay, Jesus was raised from the dead. We have evidence for it. You can go to our website, search F-E-A-T, okay, feet.
Right.
And we talk about how we have evidence for that. Other than that, everybody dies.
Right. Well, and not only that, but look, if we can prove that Jesus rose from the dead, that means the Bible is correct, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible also says that Paul was making a speech and a guy got so bored with his speech that he fell out the window and died.
Yeah.
And Paul rushed to his side and prayed for him to be healed and brought back to life and brought him back to life. So don't say those kind of prayers don't get answered.
Now, do we see a lot of prayers like that being answered today?
No.
I personally haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I'll agree with him on that point. However, a lack of people being raised from the dead does not contradict the evidence that Jesus was raised from the dead.
Right.
So you would have to have that to deal with. All right.
All right. What do you say we do a Bible contradiction?
Oh, that's a good idea. Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
All right, contradiction today brought to you by the infidels.org.
Oh, we love them.
All right, Genesis 1, 25 through 26 said God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. So who was made first, beast before man? That's what it says here. Okay. But in Genesis 2, just one chapter later, my voice cracked there. Genesis 2:18 and through 19, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he could name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So man was made before beasts. What is it? Beast before man or man before beasts? I'm confused.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D. The second C stands for
Credibility.
Credibility. You have to give some credit to what you're reading. If you read something, and this goes for any book, okay, even if you're reading atheist Richard Dawkins' book,
right,
and you read something and you think, he is really off on that, give it a second read. Most authors, decent authors, aren't complete idiots, okay? Right. Including the authors of the Bible. Give it a second read. Really think, is there any way that this could possibly make sense? Because that's probably how they meant it. Hmm. Don't just assume you're the right and the author right. of the book was wrong. Especially when you're dealing with ancient books and writings that have lasted for centuries. So what we're going to do here is we're going to read this more carefully. Genesis 1, God made the wild animals according to their kinds. Then God said, let us make mankind.
Right.
Okay? Clearly man was made after the animals.
Right.
Genesis 2, Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals.
Uh-huh.
He had formed. That's past tense.
Right.
Just a careful reading shows that the beast, even in Genesis 2, the beasts were made before man.
Gotcha.
So in both of these, we're reading the exact same thing. All you have to do is give it a little bit of credit, read it carefully, and you'll see that there is no contradiction there. And that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Great.
Let's do this. Page 6.
All right. Let's see.
A corollary.
Corollary.
To this issue.
Okay. Is that in the middle of a
paragraph? At the very top of the page.
Okay. Corollary to this issue. Sorry. Well, this was actually before the stuff we were talking about.
Oh. Sorry.
So let's jump down here. He says, okay. I also wondered why God would be so secretive and aloof and allow so many false religions to flourish.
Okay.
Even in the Christian religion, there are hundreds of denominations, each with a different philosophy of Christianity. Wouldn't it make more sense to be upfront with us and let us know exactly what we're supposed to believe, how to behave, and who to worship? Further, why are there so many people born into circumstances that make becoming a Christian almost impossible?
Okay, well, God says, or the Bible says, in our worldview, that God has placed the nations and mankind into situations, times, and places mm-hmm. that would make them more likely to call out and ask for him.
Right.
So people aren't born into places that would make being a coming to Christian almost impossible. They're born into whatever place that their soul would most likely cry out to God.
Right.
Second, he says, why would God allow so many false religions to flourish? Because we have free will. Again, this comes back. This is not cartoon world. God right. allows us to make choices, including stupid choices
right.
and wrong choices.
Right. If it weren't for free will, if God wanted to come down and say, all right, all of you guys are going to start acting like you should, and free will is gone.
Yeah. This guy should be asking, if there is no God, why on earth are there so many religions? And why does every human being on earth, almost every human being on earth, say, no, there is a God, right. but I think I found the right one.
Right.
I mean, right. obviously there's yeah. there's a really strong corollary there.
Right, because we have been given the, I think, the onus or the spark to look for God wherever we might.
That's right.
You know, and that's why we come up with all these false religions, because people have that that want to look for God, to look for a higher being.
And then he says, even in the Christian religion, there's hundreds of denominations, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We talked about denominations in Truth Shot. That's going up on the website. So get to truthrevolution.tv. You'll find out right. why denominations exist and why God allowed them to exist and why it's not really that big of a deal.
Right.
Don't worry about it. All right. Page 7.
Page 7.
I wondered about the inconsistency of salvation, given that an infant who dies is supposedly given a free pass to heaven, but if he lived to be an adult and did not satisfy God, he could be sent to hell. This seems to suggest that dying as an infant was the best thing that could happen, for why risk an eternal reward for a few short years of earthly life? Clay Jones is coming out with an article
mm-hmm.
about why children die.
Right.
So you're going to have to get with him on that. We don't have enough time to answer this. I will say this, though. God allows free will, and God is a compassionate God.
Right.
And so someone who didn't have the ability to exercise their free will and choose him and die, God's not going to send that person to hell.
Right.
Period. But if you exercise your control, your free will control, and say, God, I reject you, I choose to reject you, God will allow you that choice.
Right. So. Yeah, because we've talked about it before. If you're going to reject God here, why would he want to yank you into heaven where you're going to be with him for eternity?
All right, truthrevolution.tv. Thanks for listening. Come on out to Revolution Church. Don't reject God. Say, God, I'm interested in you.
Amen.
So come out to Revolution Church, 9-11 Sunday mornings, and get out to truthrevolution.tv. Listen to all the good stuff on there. It's good stuff.
See you next week.